Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. Chad and I are chatting with Dave Erfley, founder and editor of the Junior Miner Junkie. Now Dave, look, fact of the matter is, precious metals sector still relatively slow. Gold right around 1800. Gold stocks more or less moving sideways, maybe with a little bias to the downside, but look, we are in the tail end of the summer doldrums, hopefully, because this weekend is the long weekend, and expectations are that more traders get back to their desks, and maybe we will see a bit more volume and maybe some more defined direction for precious metals. Maybe not. But one thing that is going to happen next week is really the start of conferences, face-to-face conferences again, for the mining sector. We have the Denver Gold Show. We also have the Beaver Creek Conference. Beaver Creek's focused a bit more in some of the exploration companies. Dave, I know that you're going to Beaver Creek. Unfortunately, I can't make it this year, but what are you expecting on the back of these conferences that are going face-to-face again this year?
Yeah, I'm real excited. I haven't been excited to go to a conference in a long time, probably because I haven't been able to go to a conference in a long time. It sold out pretty quick. The live edition of it, they're doing it virtual and live. I'm really looking forward to the networking. You know, that's one thing you miss the most, especially at Beaver Creek. It's always my favorite conference, and you always get to catch up with your friends in the business, and you get to network and find out about some companies that you might not be familiar with. And also get face-to-face meetings with these companies again. You know, it's exciting to finally do that again. And they're going to be doing that also at the Denver Gold Forum. So, the M&A space has been really, really slow. So I think it's going to pick up now after these conferences, because they're finally going to be able to talk face, going to be able to deal talk face-to-face. So I'm looking forward to maybe some M&A deals out of these conferences.
Well, Dave, one question I have is, when you're at these conferences, and I do expect to see some news from the sector, a lot of times leading into these events, mm-hmm. they'll release, their drill results, their economic studies, they'll have something for the market to hang their hat on. But when you go into these and you're going to meet with these companies, especially in one-on-ones, what kind of things are you looking to get out of the company that you can't get off their corporate presentation, their news flow, their website? What do you hope to gain when you meet with these companies one-on-one? What are you asking them?
Well, first of all, meeting face-to-face, it's easier to tell about a person. And the biggest thing I want to know is, how many shares did they own? What did they pay for their shares? What's their history? Do they have a history of being serially successful in this sector, of taking a project from maybe discovery to de-risking it up to feasibility or pre-feasibility, and maybe selling it to a major, or even de-risking it up to production and then selling it to a major? Because one of the most important things a company is management, delving into management. And, do they have any cheap paper? Because a lot of these companies, they put out these IPOs and they get really cheap, 2-3 cent paper, and then they come out and do a deal and want your private placement money at 10 cents. So, those things are really important to ask. Of course, their project, the fine details of their project. You get about 25 minutes. It's kind of like it's basically speed dating with miners. You have all these and they're back to back. So it can be kind of hectic, but you find out a lot of information in a short amount of time. And then after the meetings, you get to network with the people and find out some things that you might have missed in some other companies.
So, Dave, look, when we look at the overall sector and the stocks, everything's faded lower, right? And valuations, I keep on hearing, look, we're undervalued based on ounces in the ground or revenue that's being generated, all of these aspects. But when we do see that broad sell-off, it usually results in, when we see money come back in, the majors starting to run first. Are you going to be looking any more at some of the production stories, even if it's small scale production, saying that maybe these get revalued first?
Yes, I do have some meetings with a few growth-oriented producers, small-cap growth-oriented producers that are on my watch list. I was hoping they'd come down even further during this last downdraft, but I might not get my wish there. So if I'm going to end up having to pay a little higher than I wanted to pay, I'm really gonna have to delve into the management team and what they're planning. What's coming up for the project? What would happen? What you think would happen if the gold price went down to $1,675 again? I mean, what are your all-in sustaining costs? How much cash do you have? Do you have any debt? Things like that. I don't see the gold price going back down there again, but you never know with this sector. But it's really going to be fun again to actually go to a live conference. You know, I've really missed going to these conferences. And like I said, Beaver Creek is my favorite conference.
Dave, you brought up the topic of M&A and how sometimes out of these conferences, we'll see some of that activity. The groundwork is laid, or companies will visit with one another, or maybe a company that's a larger producer does go scout out one of the little explorers or developers, mm-hmm. or even the small scale producers and say, hey, this would be a good bolt-on operation. Maybe the deal's done at the bar, as it often does. But there's also an interesting point that our buddy Jordan Royburn brought up yesterday. I asked him about, when do you think M&A will pick up in the sector? And he said, when the divergence starts between the mid-tiers and the majors, when they take off first and their share mm-hmm. are their currency, right. And then the juniors haven't moved, he thinks that's the point when the M&A will start. What do you think of that idea?
Yeah, that's a great point. These guys know they're running out of ore. They know they need to replace their ounces. They've built up lots of cash on their books. They know that some of these companies, their paper is really attractive. But I'm looking forward to seeing all cash deals. You know, that's what you really want to see, is you want to see all cash deals, because, you know, let's face it. These guys have basically learned from their sins of the past bull market, where, you know, they loaded up on these low margin bulk tonnage projects that were large but needed a higher gold price, and they did it with paper, which pretty much ruined both the GDX and the GDXJ, which is a big reason why they're trading at such lower valuations in relation to the price of gold in the past. These guys have all done the right things this time around, and once we see a few all cash deals, that'll really get the sector, that'll really bring some excitement into the sector again.
Dave, what else is needed to get some excitement in the sector? Because we've chatted about the US dollar, we've chatted about the Fed, we've chatted really about everything. And the consistent answer that I keep hearing usually deals with the Fed, but I think it's usually more about the US equity markets and the fact that the markets right now, they're also boring, but they're boring to the upside. Think of how easy it is right now for a passive investor to just wake up every day and see their account slowly grow.
Exactly.
Not that easy for the precious metals investor.
Right, exactly. And that's why you start mining, which is a high quality silver gold miner, trading at book value. I mean, most of these miners are trading at just 3x book. And when you see something like Apple trading at 57x book, you see the margins that these companies are making with all-in costs of production about $1,030 an ounce, and the gold price is over $1,800, you just buy them and you wait, until the market becomes, the stock market's got to roll over. And another thing we need is a major discovery. You know, it might be the newfound gold Newfoundland discovery. I don't know. I mean, those are coming off now. These newfound gold, these Newfoundland gold plays are coming off a little bit now because they went up so much. But, you know, we need a Voisey's Bay type discovery that'll really get the retail investor excited to come back into this sector, along with some fear coming into the general equity market.
Well, one thing that comes to mind, David, is we've asked this for the last year or two, do valuations even matter anymore? It's true in the general stock markets in that their valuations seem so unhinged from anything historically people would use with enterprise value, book value, when they're looking at their price to NAV. You know, all of those things are divorced from reality to the upside in the general markets. And then in the mining stocks, the traditional things you would look at for valuation metrics, especially on something like a producer or on a development story where you've got economics, they seem like they don't matter at all. Do they matter anymore? And will they matter again?
Yes, they will matter again. We just don't know when, you know, and many times in the past on your show, but it's true. You know, these guys did the right thing. They have a bunch of cash. You know, the last time the market was like this was in 2018 when gold was trudging along the $1,200 an ounce. But these juniors didn't have any cash, you know. And when we had the junior sector take a big huge dump along with the entire marketplace as everybody scrambled into the U.S. dollar last March of 2020, it was the same thing. These companies didn't have any cash. They needed cash, and that's why the moves in the GDXJ and the GDX were so pronounced. Because you know, a lot of these juniors, these developer explorers, they hemorrhage cash. They need cash. They don't have any cash flow. So you had a combination of these companies that needed cash during a black swan crisis event where investors were selling everything that didn't have any cash flow. So now you've got the flip side of that. You've got deals along the same values as what happened back then, but these miners are now these juniors are now cashed up. Most of them are cashed up through 2022, and some of them are even cashed up into 2023.
So, Dave, what are you doing with your portfolio? Sounds like you're still being very defensive. Sounds like you're still doing a lot of homework. But what are you doing? What are you looking for when you come out of this conference? When do you expect to start buying a bit more?
Yeah, that's the great thing about this correction, because it's been, you know, it's been a slow, steady type correction. It's given you a lot of time to vet these companies and take a look at a price that you want to pay before start getting into them. You know, since mid August, you know, I added to some of my core positions and I scaled into a few new ones, but I have about 10-11% cash still in my portfolio, waiting to vet them even more when I talk to all these companies at Beaver Creek. You know, I've got a watch list of companies and a couple of them that look really attractive here to me. And I just want to, cross the T's and dot the I's with the management team before I make a decision.
All right, Dave, not much more to say, but I do look forward to touching base with you, I guess, in 2 weeks after these conferences. Get your recap on your real takeaway from what you saw, what you heard, and any stocks that you like or caught your eye. Dave, really appreciate the time. Thanks again. We'll chat again next week.
Look forward to it, Corey. Thanks.